crossover Sports Illustrated's NBA show, breaking down the latest news, rumors, and everything in between. Here's your hosts, Chris Mannix and Chris Herring.
This is the Crossover NBA Podcast. I'm Chris Mannix, senior writer with Sports Illustrated, joined by my colleague, Chris Herring, senior writer with SI, New York Times bestselling author of Blood in the Garden. And Chris, we want to jump on here on a Friday afternoon because one of the all-time Friday afternoon news dumps, or I guess Friday morning news dumps, came from the NBA, where the league announced its punishment for Ja Morant. The NBA has suspended Ja Morant for 25 games, beginning, of course, next season. Ja Morant subsequently released a statement apologizing. It's a three-paragraph statement. I won't read the whole thing, but saying he was going to work on himself, his mental health, and continue to train for the day when he's allowed back on the court. So let's start with the punishment itself. I believe I said last week on the show that I thought it would be 30 games. This was kind of right around where I thought it would be, a little bit light. But what was your take on the NBA's 25-game suspension?
Yeah, actually hearing you kind of lay out what you'd started to hear on your end started to prompt me to start thinking more about the fact that the league was going to go lighter than what I think a lot of us were expecting, is that we initially were looking at maybe closer to half the season, maybe even slightly more than that. And I think it was about the way a lot of us perceived Adam Silver's tone, certainly right after he was asked about it by Malika Andrews. And then, you know, it almost became almost like we talked about this on the podcast last week, a little bit of a tour. It wasn't so much like a Ja Morant focused tour. It was just Adam Silver promoting the finals, really. But obviously he was going to be asked about this, whether it was Dan Patrick or who you name it. This was the first thing on everybody's mind. And I think what you raised on the podcast a couple of days ago was really that the league wasn't looking to really broach a fight here with the players union, quite frankly. And what's interesting about that is now, even just hours after this announcement was made, it still seems like the players union is going to try to talk this down a little bit. But I think most of us are looking at it objectively and saying that we all thought that it might have been more time than this to begin with. So it's an interesting position. You're not ever surprised that the union is going to try to whittle something down further, particularly because Ja here is at risk of having to miss so many games that he would be ineligible for the Supermax extension if he were to make all NBA, or at least the requirements that are put in place now for those thresholds. So that's the big number here, I think. But even if it goes less than that, even if he misses less time than that, if he gets injured a time or two, he still kind of is irrelevant in that conversation, which is a big thing. We've talked about it as if it's this surefire thing that he's missed of his Supermax, but he would be eligible for it next year as well. And so that's a big deal to have him miss 25 games, even if it's lighter than what a lot of us were thinking.
Yeah, I wrote about this a little bit on SI.com on Friday, but to kind of paraphrase what I wrote, I do think the NBA went light on Ja Morant. I do think they cut Ja Morant a break in this situation. This is after, you know, what everyone would probably describe as cutting Ja Morant a break back in March when they gave him an 8-game suspension for the first incident with a gun. Look, Adam Silver is a collaborative person on stuff like this. I don't think Adam Silver wants to send a message just for the sake of sending a message, even though I know that there were executives from other teams that were pushing Adam Silver to do just that, to make a statement with this type of suspension, a statement that says any kind of activity involving guns was not going to be tolerated in the NBA. The kind of statement that, quite frankly, David Stern was more willing to make, right or wrong, you know, during his time. Yeah, he would have done it. Right or wrong, he would have done it. Adam Silver's not really wired that way. When he suspended Ja Morant the first time around, you know, during that meeting in New York, he brought, you know, union representatives into that meeting. it wasn't a collaborative effort necessarily, but they were, you know, advised about what was happening, you know, most steps along the way. It certainly felt like they were involved in, if not the decision-making, the process itself. You know, when Adam Silver spoke before game one of the finals and he said, you know, we're going to put off announcing this suspension until after the finals are over, he alluded to the union being on the same page with that that decision-making. Now, I don't know what to make of the union's protest. Part of me thinks, Chris, it's kind of perfunctory.
Like, right.
They have to do it. You know, you don't want to just seem like you're the NBA issues a suspension. You just go along with it. Like, there's probably some of that to the union's gripes. But you have to remember, the union cannot appeal the suspension. Ja Morant has to appeal the suspension. And look, Ja Morant issued a lengthy statement seemingly owning up to his flaws and owning up to what he did. That wasn't the kind of statement that sounded to me like someone that was preparing to appeal. I mean, you know, it goes along with what I'm saying when I say collaborative. The NBA issued its multi-paragraph statement on Friday morning. That was immediately followed by a statement from Ja Morant that was obviously prepared. That was immediately followed by a short statement from the Memphis Grizzlies. So it seemed at the very least in concert. However you want to phrase it, it just seemed like it wasn't just the NBA saying, here it is, guys, here's a suspension. And I do think it's a fair suspension at worst and a light suspension, or a fair suspension at best and a light suspension at worst. I don't think you can look at this and say Ja Morant is being excessively punished. I mean, Ja Morant had an incident where he carried a gun into a Denver nightclub, flashed on Instagram Live, and, you know, the NBA gave him a chance and slapped him on the wrist. And then less than 2 months later, he went out and did almost the exact same thing. Again, that's flaunting it to your employer. And it has nothing to do with the legality of what Ja Morant did. It has nothing to do with laws in Tennessee or in Colorado that say what he did might have been within the boundaries of those. The NBA has broad powers when it comes to conduct detrimental to the league. And that's where they are punishing Ja Morant, under that umbrella. And this 25-game suspension, it feels pretty fair to me. It feels like the kind of thing that if you're on Ja Morant's side, maybe you let the union kind of do its thing and put up the public fight for you. But at the end of the day, this is the kind of suspension I suspect that Ja Morant will accept and try to move on from.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can realistically sit with a straight face and say that Ja was hosed here. I mean, I think everybody should have been expecting that his punishment would be at least twice as bad. Because, you know, it was 8 games, but wasn't it that he'd had 8 of those before and then, what, he got 3 extra or whatever that he sat out after he was eligible to come back, whatever it was. It was essentially twice the first punishment, which I think people figured Adam Silver had every right to come down potentially twice as hard when this was 2 months after. It was right after Memphis got knocked out of the playoffs. It didn't show much contrition. I've raised the point that still bothers me a little bit, that it was kind of framed from the standpoint of it being a mental health issue at a time where, frankly, that seemed like a convenient way to frame it, considering that there had been a number of other issues leading up to the first gun incident. I think Adam Silver would have had every right to at least give him twice as many games. So from the standpoint of complaining about that, I understand the union has a job to do. I think it's telling that Ja just kind of, between him and the Grizzlies, essentially had their own statements prepared, ready to go after this. Now, what I think is really interesting that I think fundamentally matters just as much from a money standpoint and certainly kind of just a PR standpoint, Nike is also standing by him, which I think is huge and was something that we were all kind of curious what's going to happen here. If he's going to get a half-year suspension, more than a half-year, 50 games, something like that, and miss the majority of a season, is Nike comfortable? Is Powerade comfortable with moving forward? Do they put him on more of a hiatus? Do they start looking for someone who can fill his spot the way that he kind of filled the Kyrie spot? And the fact that essentially none of those things are happening. I think Ja is really fortunate here. Obviously, it will have an impact on the Grizzlies, but also, let's be honest, the Grizzlies have played well when Ja hasn't been in the lineup. And so I think everybody, Ja, his people, the Grizzlies, sure, you're going to be upset about the potential of not even really having a chance to get the Supermax here because of this and because of everything last year, last season with the video and everything. But this could have been a lot worse. And I think most of us, again, at the beginning of this, were expecting this to be a lot worse for him.
Is there a hypocrisy with Nike? I mean, Nike was pretty quick to cut ties with Kyrie Irving when Kyrie had his controversy involving his own interpretation of that film with the anti-Semitic tropes. They cut ties with him pretty quickly. Nike is now standing by Ja Morant twice on incidents involving guns. Do you see any hypocrisy there?
I'm going to say a little, but not as much as I think a lot of people would like to draw a parallel to. Kyrie had every opportunity. People were kind of begging him to, whether it was religious groups, the Anti-Defamation League. There were so many people essentially begging him to take the tweet down, apologize, you know, the retweet down, whatever you want to call it, and apologize. And he just wouldn't do it. And it was only after he was punished, essentially, where the league, a combination of the league and his team, kind of like now, essentially said, man, you've got to take a punishment here. Like, we can't do damage control anymore. It's beyond that. So they gave him every opportunity. And I think really, and this is what I'm saying, and this is why I don't think it's all that hypocritical. I think after a while, the concern with Kyrie Irving was certainly about the decisions he was going to make as far as who he was going to offend, what he was willing to say, what he was not willing to back down from. But it was also a question of how many games are we going to be able to rely on you playing from year to year, whether it's because of COVID and the vaccine and wanting to be the face of that argument. You know, it's not like Kyrie was never injured to begin with or anything like that with a lot of these seasons, but just kind of a general nature that he was taking. If you're not on the floor, whether it's because you're going to offend a whole lot of people or if it's because you're going to essentially take a stance on something that makes it so that you're not able to play and abide by what the league and the city regulations are asking for. If you're voluntarily going to miss half a season, and keep in mind, for a while, the Nets had made the decision to sit him out for both home and road games until they really needed him right at that point. What is Nike supposed to do at that point? So that's why I'm saying why Ja, I think he's fortunate here. I don't necessarily think it's hypocrisy, but I think he's fortunate because had the league come down on him for 2/3 of the games or more than half a season, all of a sudden he's more in that Kyrie Irving boat from the standpoint of, we just don't know when he's going to be available. And then what if he messes up again and then he's gone for a year and a half? You can't rely on that. So to me, that's one of the most interesting questions coming up for Ja and for Adam Silver, quite frankly, is that fine, you want to take this stance on him 25 games now? Fine. If he has another episode like this, I kind of don't know what you do with him. Like, it, a lot of people.
Oh, I think I know what they do. I think I know. I mean, look, I have not talked to anybody in the league office that has confirmed this, but I've talked to enough people over the last, you know, 3 or 4 hours, you know, kind of with knowledge of what goes on in mm-hmm. there. And the belief that I'm operating under is that if this happens again, it's a season.
I think it has to be, right? And that's what I'm saying.
It has to be. If you're going to flaunt, you know, if you're going to flaunt the NBA punishment and flaunt the NBA rules as much as Ja Morant would if he did it a third time, it would be a season. I think that would probably be a deal breaker for Nike as well. I mean, not to make it the baseball analogy, but 3 strikes and you're probably out, that, at least for one season in the NBA and out of a contract.
And that's my thought, is that I think, and maybe, and who knows, maybe fundamentally that is why the league came down the way it did, or part of why they came down the way they did. They don't want to completely just pull everything off the table for him for something that wasn't illegal. It is a horrible look for the league. It does not abide by their code or anything like that. It's a young player. I think to me, the part where I could have understood the league coming down harder, aside from it being in such close proximity to the first incident, again, is that he had a history of kind of questionable close calls, things that might have been illegal in other cases had it been investigated more closely or had they come down on him harder. Not the league, but authorities or some of these civil stuff things that are now happening in the background. I think the league could have taken more of that into account in terms of suspending him for a longer period of time here. But because they're not doing that, it really does feel like the next time the hammer would be dropped at that point, if they back away from him for a year or even 50, 60 games, it's hard for Nike or anybody else to really stand by him at that point when you don't get a chance to market him because he's not going to be on the court. And not to mention what it does to the Grizzlies. And like you were saying, I imagine that's the next spot we're going here is just how does this impact the team? But frankly, 25 games, I mean, they played without him for 25 games. And if they're healthy and they bring back most of this core, and I know that they're going to move on from Dylan Brooks, it seems like. But if they bring back most of his core, it's still a pretty good, capable team that should still be in playoff position.
Yeah, I agree. And the question that is unanswerable right now is, does a suspension like this get through to Ja Morant? Obviously, the 8-game suspension didn't get through to him. And when Adam Silver was speaking earlier this month, he came out and said that he doesn't know what kind of punishment would resonate with Ja Morant, what will get through to Ja Morant. 25 games is a long time. It's almost $8 million in salary. It's, as you mentioned, going to cost him, you know, a potential spot on our All-NBA team. It's going to affect the Grizzlies season one way or the other. Like, yeah, they've been great without Ja Morant over the last couple of years, but
yeah,
I don't know how sustainable that is.
No guarantees.
You take an all-star off your team. Yeah, I mean, you've got arguably the best backup point guard in the NBA in Tyus Jones, but you know, this is going to be the real test. Like, does Ja Morant make substantial changes? I'm not going to sit here and tell him what those changes are. I don't have any idea. Like, you know, I see people on TV saying like, get out of Memphis or dump all your friends. I don't know. I don't know what his situation is, and I don't know what's best for him, but something does need to change. Something substantive needs to change. I mean, the guy, again, less than 2 months after falling on his sword in New York at the NBA office, issuing every mea culpa in the book, goes out and does the exact same thing on the exact same platform, on Instagram Live, you know, flashing a gun. Like, he didn't learn anything from that first experience. You know, the question's going to be, does he learn something from this? Are there substantive changes? You and I both know, Chris, like, he comes back next year, has no incidents, gets in the playoffs, that team makes a run. June 16th, 2024, this is not a topic. This has nothing to do with Ja Morant. It's over. It's gone. It's done. It's off his resume, you know, seemingly forever. Yeah. But he's going to have to show a level of maturity that he has to date not yet shown.
Yeah. This afternoon, this morning, I went for a run, and I'm re-listening to one of my favorite basketball books. It's called Not a Game by Kent Babb, who wrote a book on Allen Iverson. And it's so interesting to kind of read up on Iverson's beginnings and you know, how he always had different off-court things he was dealing with. Even as a kid, there was just so much around him that that was part of his life, even if he wasn't the one engaged in it, it was just around him. And the idea of just how many bad decisions were made around him and how many enablers there were around him and how it came back to haunt him. But it also talks in detail about the times where Allen could be on good behavior, on his best behavior for a couple months at a time, a season at a time, or the success comes right behind the bad behavior, and how readily people are willing to kind of forgive and forget a lot of the stuff that happens that is unacceptable. And so I think you're right. A year, a season of relatively good behavior, which I keep thinking could be as simple as him and his friends losing their social media. Because the thing is, we don't know how many of these things Ja Morant has done regularly. I mean, there have been suggestions now through some of these allegations that a lot of this stuff is semi-regular behavior, has at least become semi-regular behavior. Mm. It's just not recorded. And I think about that in a lot of frames of reference from the standpoint of even when we talk about George Floyd and you name it, Philando Castile and all these police-involved shootings, these police shootings, these killings of black men that have been happening on camera. But now, when we really think about it, it's not that those things never happened before. It's that they're shown on camera. It's, you know, Rodney King was on camera in a way that people weren't used to seeing. John Morant simply loses social media and convinces his friends and the people in his circle to lose their social media, a lot of this stuff is never known about. And while I don't think the league would be thrilled about that, they don't want this stuff being in the public eye. I think they'll always have a concern about it, even if he goes a while without having any incidents. But it's just more, why is it being publicized? Why is it being shown? I'm sure that's the question that Nike has and Powerade has, is that it's just bad for business. And whether it's legal or not, it's bad for business, particularly for it to be shown. And the internet lives forever. Social media has a field day with this stuff when it happens. But nobody wants that. I don't think anybody wants that to continue to be the case. And I'm surprised that Ja and his friends don't see a means of just kind of essentially just dropping this behavior, at least to where it's publicized and shown.
I can't believe he's got a friend that thought it was a good idea to go live when Ja's got a gun in his hand.
Yeah.
I don't.
It was one of the friends that got kicked out of one of the arenas too. I mean, like, you know, banned from the arena. So
I know that's a whole nother. Yeah, that's a whole nother ball of wax that we are not going to investigate at this time. All right, we will be back next week, hopefully talking about other topics here on the podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.